J.M. DeBoard, part two. We're going to talk about that dream, the one that was a nightmare that lasted 30 years.
The guy's face even looked like the Dark Lord. His eyes were like oozing with power, and his face was all craggy with burn scars. And I mean, just right out of myth and, you know, right out of the movies. Mm-hmm. So I had a confrontation with him, Wendy. I tried to kill him, and I heard him laughing in my mind. And I knew at that moment that if I fought fire with fire, that I would become fire. If you fight darkness with darkness, you become dark.
Hello, I'm Wendy. My guest is Jason DeBoard, J.M. DeBoard, dream expert. He has several books on dreams. The latest is about nightmares, and these are the dark nightmares. This is just anything from A to Z that you might be bothered by, haunted by, tortured by in some cases, while you're trying to sleep. He had a nightmare that lasted for 30 years till he found out the source. The source isn't any less frightening. We'll get into that in this segment.
You had a very personal experience ongoing for three decades of a nightmare.
Yeah. And it was time to share it. And I knew it was time because when I got the contract and I found out what the book was about, the first thought that went through my mind was, I'm not going to share my nightmare. And that resistance was, I knew that I had work to do. It had started with a show where I was taking live-in calls, and a guy mentioned that he'd had a nightmare very similar. He didn't know about mine. And he'd had this experience, and I knew that I needed to share mine because I needed to validate for him that what he experienced was, well, real is a funny word, isn't it? Let me get into what I experienced. When I was 9 years old, I had a dream. I was biking down my neighborhood, sunny blue skies, you know, having fun, you know, and I look back and there's a man in a black Cadillac, like a convertible, and he's following me, and I can kind of zoom in on his face, and I'm like, this guy looks like he's dead but alive. Like I knew he's a supernatural bad guy. And I didn't have a whole lot in my mind at the time. At 9 years old, I didn't watch scary movies. My parents didn't have me, you know, they didn't let me do that stuff. I just didn't have a whole lot in my mind from memory to be able to create this character who was so vividly present and there. And I knew that he wanted to take my soul. I would be dead. He gets my soul. And I didn't know what a soul was exactly, but I just knew that it was the most important part of me. So, you know, what do? I tear out of there and riding my bike as fast as I can. I find a store. I hide from them behind a pinball machine, you know, dream logic, you know, like, oh yeah, kid, I don't see you back there, do I? You know, yeah, you're hidden behind a pinball machine. Mm-hmm. And the man, you know, he found me there. And the last thing was him bearing down on me. And I wake up from the nightmare and, you know, 9 years old, I'm in my bed, I'm safe. My heart's beating, I'm sweating, you know, I probably was screaming as I woke up, and I went, oh, okay, I'm safe, I'm alive. And, you know, life goes on, and like kids do, you bounce back from this. Kids frequently have nightmares. It's not unusual, but this nightmare stuck with me. And then when I was in seventh grade, my teacher in this enrichment class brought in a dream analyst. I mean, of all special speakers you can bring into a class, a dream analyst? Well, yeah. And the analyst said, does anyone have a nightmare that really stuck with them and they'd like to explore it using a special technique? And I'm like, yeah, I have one. And so he took me into a hypnotic, I know it now as hypnotic regression, but back then, you know, it was just kind of getting me relaxed and, you know, like getting me to go deep into my imagination, into my mind's eye. And he said, find the source of the conflict behind the nightmare. And I said, well, I see these two families in conflict and something terrible has happened between them. And they hate each other. It's a blood feud. And then he's like, see if you can find a solution for it. And I, you know, my little seventh grade mind, I thought, okay, what's the best thing I could say to these people right now? And I said, you know, fighting's bad. There's no point in hurting each other. Can't you all just get along? And that worked real well. You know, no, they all got really mad and the scene turned really dark and ugly. And the therapist was savvy enough to pull me out of there before things melted down. So I go into my teenage years and I'm just a wounded animal and this thing is following me, but I don't know what it is. into my 20s, it really started to appear again in my dreams. And I had a series of nightmares involving this guy. And it kind of, in a way, was driving me from behind the scenes. I had a lot of crazy stuff going on in my life, and I had a lot of darkness that I was, personal darkness that I was dealing with. And this man seemed to embody all that wrong, all that darkness. He just embodied it. He, one night in a nightmare, he sent his minions to kidnap me off the street. They like drove up in the van, opened the door, and they jump out and they're going to kidnap me. And I'm like, no, not again, because apparently this had happened many times. I said, not again. Tell me where he is. I'll go to him. It's time for the final battle. And I walk into this black office tower, skyscraper office tower, top floor, empty except for this big glass coffin in the middle of the room. And I know there he is. And I'm like, yep, okay, let's get it on. This is the final battle. If you go back to Star Wars, Return of the Jedi, Luke Skywalker walking in for the final scene with Darth Vader there, and he's facing the Dark Lord. That was what the scene looked like. The guy's face even looked like the Dark Lord. His eyes were like oozing with power, and his face was all craggy with burn scars. And I mean, just right out of myth and, you know, right out of the movies. Mm-hmm. So I had a confrontation with him, Wendy. I tried to kill him, and I heard him laughing in my mind. And I knew at that moment that if I fought fire with fire, that I would become fire. If you fight darkness with darkness, you become dark. So I just kind of fell away out of that dream. I woke up just despondent, covered in tears. I felt like it was hopeless. I also felt like there were times when this man's presence congealed into my waking life, not just as sort of a feeling or residue left over from the nightmare, but as an ability to be able to inhabit the consciousness of people who are susceptible to darkness and use their actions and their mouths to say just the right thing at the right time to knock me off the track, or to set up circumstances in a way that would just, you know, plunge the knife into my back. And it happened over and over again. And I really felt like there was something that was haunting me. So I get into my 30s. And this man is kind of receded into the background again, because I lost my mojo and I fell back into my old ways, addiction, darkness. And then I gradually kind of started finding my way out of it, but I was still on the cusp. And I felt like this thing was sucking me back into the black muck. And a friend of mine, someone I was dating, and things ended because I was addictive. And that she had been through an experience where her husband had died, and she went to see a medium. And that medium was the guy I ended up seeing, who was a shamanic practitioner, Steve Rogat. She referred me to him because she's like, you need help. And I don't think it's just help with addiction and, you know, personal problems. I think you have something more going on. I know someone who can maybe help you. I'll give you his name and number. So I went, you know, like, yeah, okay, I'll try it because nothing else has worked. Mm-hmm. I end up in the office of Steve Rogat. He's a shamanic practitioner, counselor by day. He's from Long Island, salty sense of humor, fun guy, but he does very serious work. He hears my story. He goes, okay, well, let me see what I can come up with. He goes up to his spirit guides. He comes back and he says, that analyst had a night. You were on a track when he described the family feud, but what this was a curse that was cast on your family generations ago for the women in your family to marry tragic men, because there was a woman in your family who stole the husband of another woman, and that woman hired a sorcerer to cast a curse on you. In other words, black magic. And I went, you're kidding me, right? You know, like, are you seriously? You know, but there was a part of me that said, yeah, this makes perfect sense. And so he said, do you want to be done with it? And I said, yeah. And he said, well, we'll try. So he took me into a shamanic ritual where we opened, first he removed this thing from my energy system that he described as a black blade, like a knife. He said it was right between my shoulder blades and it was poisoning my heart. And I said, well, that explains a lot. and then he said, okay, now that we've done that, this man doesn't have the power to zap you anymore because he's he's alive on the other side, and he's bound to the power that he used. The black magic sorcery that he used has become his own prison. And he would be only, now I've removed the channel that he had to keep zapping you and zapping your feelings and poisoning your heart. He said, but the man is still there. Do you want to try to find him? And I said, yeah, let's go. So we went into shamanic ritual, and we basically, it was a journey in the mind's eye where I was aware and present with my body, but I allowed my mind to go with Steve to the other place, to cross over to the other side. And we eventually found the man, and we had the final, I'll say, confrontation with him. Although I don't like that word, I've learned that there is a sort of allowing and acceptance to this kind of work that allows things to work themselves out without you having to get into a dogfight. And that's what the man wanted. He wanted me to hate him. I had a telepathic communication with him while this was happening. And I could feel him goading me to hate him. He wanted me to hate him. He's like, look at all the damage I've done to your family, which was a funny thing that Steve said. He said, you know, this man has, you know, that the women in your family would marry tragic men. He didn't know that my grandmother had outlived five husbands. He didn't know that my great-grandmother had married a tragic man. He didn't know that my mom had married a tragic man. You know, he didn't know this from my history. He knew it because his guides told him, because he was able to see my history and my family's history, and he could see into my dreams. He gave me a critical insight at the final moment. I couldn't get through to the man. I could feel him, but there was a wall between us. And I'm like, I have to get to this place to be able to have to see him and talk with him directly. And Steve said, look up. And we were in a metaphysical space. I look up and I see the eye of providence looking down at me from inside a funnel cloud. And Steve said, the funnel clouds aren't here for you. They're here for him. And I knew what he meant. For years, I had dreamed about funnel clouds chasing me, trying to kill me. I thought they weren't there for me. I was running from them because it was terrifying. They were there for him. It was God coming in to say, I'm on your side, kid. You're not in this fight alone. And that gave me what I needed to be able to get through the barrier and to find the man and to forgive him. That was what I needed to do. I needed to forgive him in my name and the name of my family. And it took all the power out of him. He deflated like one of those silly dolls that sit there and wave and flap around and try to get your attention. And I found out that that's what feeds the darkness, is your attention and energy. And when you withdraw it, it has nothing left to live, and it goes away like an illusion. That was my story, Wendy.
See, I think that is so powerful, because what people don't realize, when you get into that, it sucks you into it. So when he cursed someone, the curse basically reflected back on him and caught him. And that's what people don't understand. Yeah. But boy, that is such a wonderful demonstration and a real, you know, concrete example of what happens when you think you're doing something bad to somebody else and then you're stuck.
Yeah. And it really made me, I'll say, I felt sorry for him. And it was because I could have been him. When I was younger, you know, in maybe past incarnations, I was someone like him. I've had a hint of this, that I did some, you know, dealt with powers that made me understand what the position that he was in. I also knew that just my own proclivities for things could have led me down that path. And there were times that I stood at the threshold and I could have started walking down that path. And I had people who intervened in my life. Maybe even the teacher at that who brought in that dream analyst in seventh grade,
yeah.
He had caught me. I checked out a book from the library, and this was the 80s, and you could still get a wide range of stuff in your school library. It was a book on witchcraft with spells written in German. I didn't know German from anyone else in the world, but I was like, wow. And I'm sitting there in class, and I'm just reciting this stuff. I'm like, playing with a friend of mine who's in class. I'm like, let me read a witch's spell here, you know, just playing around with something that I shouldn't have been toying with. And he understood what I was doing, and he felt the energy building in the room. And he's like, Jason, never do that again. And I'm like, oh, I'm just playing around, man. He's like, no, this is serious. Never do that again. And then he brought in the dream analyst. So I don't know, Mr. Whitmore, thank you. You know, he might have picked up on more of what was going on at a spiritual or energetic level than my little mind could understand.
Jason DeBoard, Nightmares, Your Guide to Interpreting Your Darkest Dreams. Jason DeBoard.
But yeah, when you play with fire, you get burned. And the power that you use for the dark side, you become the dark side. It pulls you in. It's the same thing that happened to Darth Vader. They tried to do it to Luke. It's the Star Wars mythology really sums this up. Mm-hmm. And it was because of my exploration of it with a counselor, one of my great friends, Larry Pesavento, had worked me through that mythology and showed me the deeper story to it. And because of the work we'd done together, I was prepared when I had that moment of direct communication with the dark man in my dreams so that I wouldn't fall into the trap of fighting fire with fire. Also, I have an entry in there about poltergeist, and it gave me an opportunity to bring up the fact that I have learned from the research into the subject, such as from the Society for Psychical Research, which our friend Alex Tanis was a member of and a very prominent contributor to the research that they did into these subjects, where, you know, you have real trained researchers and scientists who go to a place where there is a poltergeist haunting, allegedly, and they would spend the time there and do the interviews and the research to find out what was really going on. One of the things that they found from that research, it was usually traced back to the emotional disturbance of a young person who lived in that home. They had it happen over and over again. And they said, well, we're starting to see the pattern here. So what are they doing? They are externalizing their internal conflicts, which our friend Carl Jung also said that if you don't deal with your own stuff internally, you will project it out onto the world and you will call it fate. You will encounter it in the world and you will no longer recognize it as your own creation, which also is, by the way, a theme that I wrote about in the entry for Frankenstein. The book was a wonderful platform for me to share all these things that I've learned here and there from you and from Alex and from Larry and from all these other sources who have shared with me their knowledge and where I've gone and pursued them, and I pursued that knowledge. And I've picked up these little bits and pieces to help me to understand that the dream experience is a microcosm, in a way, of something that's happening also in our world in a larger sense. And by understanding what's going on in the microcosm, in your own experience of this, internally, especially in your dreams, it arms you with what you need to be able to walk out into the world and face this stuff too. And it also teaches you to turn the other cheek.
When you're doing nightmares, a lot of times it has to do with repetition. And if you keep facing it in the same manner, it won't dissolve. And so the clue then is to change your behavior. And then you see a shift, in my experience, when you're able to do that on the dream plane, then you can manifest it in your daily life, because the dream plane is where the potential and the power is, and it tells you that you've shifted your thoughts, your mindset, your imagination into creation rather than reaction.
Yes, and you can think of it as the dream is providing a simulated reality for you to work through these things internally so that you can learn what you need to do to be able to apply it to your life and see the changes that you need to make or to whatever it is, just to live your life more effectively and better and more connected and more lovingly. And it begins, though, in the dream state. You are creating your dreams, and it's giving you a place that is inside of you, although it probably links out into the collective, but it begins inside of you. You can even say that it occurs in your brain if you want to, but I teach in my book that dreams are a full body experience, the whole nervous system. All the layers of what you are as a conscious being, it's all there, but you're learning how to do these things in a safe practice space. But it's the thing that you find out is that the changes that you can make or the decisions that you make ripple out from your dream life into the external world. And we've proven this on my podcast by exploring these subjects with other people and their experiences of this. You know that it's true, Wendy, because you've experienced it. And other people out there are going to know that it's true too. If you do it in a dream, you're doing it inside of you. And what you change or reconfigure or alter inside of you will ripple out to the external world. And if it's something that's good for you, you'll see it reflected back in wonderful sorts of ways. You can also see it reflected back in negative sorts of ways. But let me be clear that just because you have a nightmare does not mean that you are haunted, that you are wrong, that you are a bad person. You know, I explore subjects in that book where I've got to tell people, like, hey, if you have a dream about incest, okay, yeah, you wake up from that and you're like, am I sick? I enjoyed it while I was dreaming. Oh my God, I must be, you know, what kind of pervert am I? Mm-hmm. And I go, you're working through something internally. It's an expression of some kind of feeling or dynamic. It may have something to do with the relationship with the person that you had, you know, the incest dream who was there with you, or it may not. It may be purely symbolic and have nothing to do really with that person other than they were the right character for a role, maybe based on how you feel about that person. I have had to walk people through this for them to see that just because they dream about something dark or wrong or bad does not make them dark or wrong or bad. In fact, it can be used to help you to be the opposite of all that. You know, Wendy, in a lot of cultures outside of the Western one, there's a tradition that the person who lives through a nightmare is like a hero because they survived an ordeal that was harrowing and life in life threatening. They see the nightmare as being a test of their courage, as being a test of what they can pull out of themselves, what they can face, the strength of character that they can bring. We make our heroes this way. We, through adversity, through putting them through ordeals and trials that they would never face otherwise. Well, a lot of us these days don't have the opportunity to face those things, and we probably wouldn't if we were given the choice. We used to have ritual initiations and stuff that made us become, find out what we're really made of. But we don't have that anymore. But we still have our dreams and our nightmares that are like that as a space that we can go into to test and challenge ourselves. And it creates us in a way like we can become heroes in our own dreams. I had a guy last night I was talking to on Reddit who said, you know, in my dreams, I'm a superhero, but in my waking life, I'm a loner. And I said, look, I don't know if you'll ever be a superhero in life in a way that people would ever recognize, even in sort of the figurative or metaphorical sense. I made it clear I wasn't talking about him becoming Spider-Man and he should go get bitten by a spider. But what I was referring to was that he was having an internal process while he was dreaming of inhabiting the role of being the hero. And I said, dude, you have the experience of this while you were dreaming. And you recognize it, that it's, that is you in your internal world because your dream created this for you. It feeds you this way. It gave you the opportunity to live this role. And now maybe the external world will start to reflect it, but it begins inside of you first. And this is the thing that I'm learning from dreams on the deeper level, is that it can reorder things for you internally, and then the outer world can follow suit. And you will have the things that will come to you that will give you the resources and the opportunities that you need so that you can be the best version of yourself that you can be. Does that make sense to you?
Yes. That's exactly how I work with my dreams. It's spot on. Okay, nightmares, your guide to interpreting your darkest dreams. And I insist, it really is an encyclopedia. Okay, and when you see it, you're going to know what I'm talking about. But definitely, it's there's so much in there that you want to refer to it on a regular basis for some of the spot information, not the entire thing. And if you do read it and you want to read it cover to cover, I just say, don't do it before you go to bed because it will give you a whole different landscape that then have to figure out. But then again, if you check out Reddit, maybe Jason can help you there.
Yes, I can. Rat Owl there. And I will say, yes, it does bring up some dark subjects, and maybe it's not the light sort of bedtime reading that most people think of as something to help to ease their mind before they go to sleep and start dreaming. But if you are having nightmares, then I would say that if you are afraid of having a nightmare tonight, that my book is exactly what you need because I'm going to arm you with the information that you need to go into that space and deal with the thing that is taking shape as a nightmare. It's only a nightmare because you haven't dealt with something that needs to be dealt with. There's something chronic, dysfunctional, you're wounded, you're in pain, you've had events that you haven't processed, your emotions are going haywire. There are different reasons, and I explain them in the book, for why people have nightmares. But if that's something that's happening to you on a regular basis and you fear having nightmares tonight, well, I'll just say that my book isn't going to make it any worse, because you're going to have nightmares anyway. But it might make it better. It might make it better because I'm going to give you the information that you need. And the book will be there at your bedside when you wake up in the morning if you did have a nightmare about a violence or disaster or crazy creature, a zombie, whatever. It might be in my book. The publisher created an index that cross-references anything. It's all the places in there. Like, there isn't a specific entry about death because I wrote about it in so many other places. So you can go to the, you know, to the index and you can look up death and you'll see it written about in multiple different places in the book. You can quickly flip through and get all those different insights because you had a dream about death. And now we can get you into understanding what it really means. And once you understand what it means, you get the message from the nightmare. What happens, Wendy?
It goes away.
It goes away. Yep. From the study of nightmares, the most effective way of stopping your nightmares is to get the message. And they will go away or they will evolve. But it will evolve in a way that you won't even recognize it anymore. This is the way most dreams work in our lives. They're not one-off events. They're part of a series. They're episodic. And so you'll have these themes that will continue to arise. But then when you've done the things that you need to do to respond to your internal promptings, and you've evolved and transformed as a person, then your nightmares evolve and transform along with you. And it might be something that you don't recognize. The nightmare that was, you know, the snake that was always after you, or the, you know, the monster that was relentlessly pursuing you. Now you've done what you need to do to get past that block, that get past that point. And now the dream evolves. And the thing is no longer a monster. It's a little child who's with you, and you feel this intense sense of protectiveness for it. It was because it was the little child in you that was still afraid of something. You addressed it. It was hidden behind the imagery. It might have even been the monster that was chasing you, but it was only a monster because you wouldn't face it. The dream represents it in imagery. And then once you've done what you need to do in the dream space and internally, dreams are great for doing inner work, then everything can flow and move again. The themes change, the characters evolve, the stories evolve, and then you can do like something different and it's no longer a nightmare. Now it's a pleasant dream. That's been happening for me lately as I've resolved some things from my life. And I found the responses from my dreams, and I sometimes wake up in tears, but it's good tears, you know, because it feels like things are finally shifting in a way, away from the other places where I've been. But I had to be, for whatever reason, to learn what I've needed to learn. So I encourage everyone out there who's maybe experiencing something like this for themselves, read my book and listen to Wendy's show.
And get extra help if you need it, because that's important. All right, you also have a podcast, so talk about the podcast. What about it?
Okay, so The Dreams That Shape Us is a podcast. You've been a guest on it, thank you. And you shared your Men in Black dreams. They were so off the hook. That was crazy. I loved it, though. We like to get into the ways that dreams shape people's lives. We are out to bust the myth that dreams are just meaningless regurgitations of memory and stuff that you experience when you're asleep. And we show not only that they're meaningful, but by understanding the dreams, the people who have them are able to then move forward in their lives powerfully, to make decisions and to become the kind of person, people that they want to be. The dreams are very powerfully effective that way. So we get into long form interviews with people. It's often an hour or more where we really dig into their dream lives with them and understand who they are, how their dreams are shaping them. So there's that. The website that there's dreamshapeus.com is the website for the podcast. I think most people though are just using podcasting services like, you know, Google and Apple and Stitcher and, you know, places like that. Podbean, I think, is where I found your website or your podcast. So you can find it that way. JM DeBord, DeBord.com. The book is Nightmares Interpreting, How Your Guide to Interpreting Your Darkest Dreams. Or we could just say your encyclopedia of everything nightmares and dark dreams. I like your title, but we'll go with the other one. It's out there. If you know someone who's troubled by nightmares or dark dreams, also just for people who want the knowledge of this, this book is going to be part of it looks like it's going to be part of a dream analysis program at the graduate college level that's being offered for the therapeutic treatment of nightmares and PTSD. So it's going to be part of the curriculum that these graduate students, it'll be one of the required texts for them. I'm still in talks with the director of the program about it. So there's a lot of information and knowledge in there, even for people who are interested in nightmares in a more, let's just say, academic sense, rather than, oh my God, I got to stop these nightmares and I got to go out there and find a resource for it, which the book is great for too. But I just want to make it clear that it's not the only type of reader who's really going to dig my book.
I want to mention, we did not get into the extremely dark topics, the taboo subjects. They are in here, and that's what makes this book unique. You aren't afraid to go there. And that's what people, when you were saying earlier, they were ashamed or afraid that this meant that they were warped or crazy or really, really bad human being. Those issues are part of being human. And you do address what about these topics that other people might skirt around or avoid because they're too sensitive and, again, taboo.
And I think I treat it pretty delicately, but with unflinching, you know, the sort of unflinching look. People rely on me as the quote unquote expert to be honest with them. And with dreams, you have to be honest. You know, imagine waking up from a dream where you axe murdered your family. And this is the kind of stuff I see at Reddit. I've helped people through these kinds of dreams. For one, I know what they are experiencing. The shame and the personal doubts and the questions about their own character and the wondering, could I do something like that? You know, the answer is probably no. There are some dreams, like we've shown, that some people start having nightmares before they commit suicide, you know, or try to. There are certain patterns that you can look at and say, well, maybe there really is a warning sign here. And I'm honest about that too in the book. But I also say, look, just because you dreamed about it doesn't mean that there's something that's wrong with you. You know, you keep dreaming about walking into a crowd of people and opening fire, and you see the brain splattering and the grossness of it, all the blood. But what you're actually doing is enacting your feelings of social anxiety. For example, I like to show people that there really is something behind the dream content, even though it's dark and really hard to deal with. If you can take a look at it with eyes open, wide open, then we can get somewhere with it. But until you do that, you're not going to get anywhere with it. And I also knew that as an expert, as a writer, that if I wasn't honest and unflinching in the way that I wrote the book, that it wasn't going to be the help that it could be for the people who are having these experiences and need that honest and unflinching look. So yeah, thank you for pointing that out, Wendy.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for talking with me. I appreciate all the work that you've done. It would be a great Christmas gift, because if you're having one of these dreams, you can immediately open the book and say, what's this about? And start the healing that needs to happen with it.
Absolutely. Agreed. So Merry Christmas to you. Thank you, Wendy, for having me on your show. I hope that this interview doesn't seep into your dreams in any kind of unpleasant way that's unwelcome.
Links are in the description for the show. Again, JM DeBord, Nightmares, Your Guide to Interpreting Your Darkest Dreams. Thanks for listening.